Crimecast 18. And be sure to check out my other radio show, an actual radio show. It's called Three Ring Radio. And there's more information on threeringradio.com.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. This is Jan. How you doing?
Hey, Jan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Right on. So you found me... Oh, damn. You found me on that SK Central board, huh?
Yeah, somebody told me. I think it was Cynthia.
Yeah, Cynthia's, she's always working it on there.
Yeah, I know. She has millions of messages on there. I don't go. I've been sick for a week, so I haven't been on there. She just came on when I came in. So.
Do you get on there a lot?
Not a whole lot, but sometimes.
So explain to me. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
Monroe.
Monroe. Okay, I just want to make sure I get it right. James Monroe.
Yeah.
And he's one of the freeway killers.
Yeah, he is.
Or he's labeled as that.
Freeway accomplish is what they labeled him as, yeah.
Yeah, because I've been reading some stuff he's written, and he pleads his innocence.
Yeah. There's a few, I believe. He's one of them.
Oh, that pleads their innocence?
Yeah, I write to a lot of them, but there's only a couple I actually believe.
So. Well, you write to a couple who?
A lot of people. Serial killer people I write to. I wrote to them before I even knew him, you know.
You wrote to who?
A lot. I help them all.
So who do you write to?
Oh, let's see. It'd be like Randy Kraft, Arthur Shawcross, Ed Kemper, Randall Woodfield. Let's see. Richard Ramirez.
And so you have a friendly rapport with all of them?
Yeah.
But you only write to one of the freeway killers.
I just started writing to Gregory Miley. He's only wrote back once. And who, he doesn't really want me to write to him, but...
Who doesn't? James doesn't?
No.
And now, how many freeway killers are there? Three?
There was four. That Vernon Butts was one that killed himself.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, I'm just getting familiar with that case, because I have a bunch of stuff that, that James had written. So fill me in on the whole... fill me in on the freeway killer case. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
What happened to him?
Well, just the whole case overview. So people that aren't knowledgeable of that.
Well, William Bonin was the ringleader of them all, and they executed him in 1996. But he was the ringleader, and Gregory Miley was apparently the second in command, if that's what you want to call him. And him and Gregory Butts, him and that Vernon Butts were pretty good friends. That's how they met. Bonin. Apparently Bonin killed about 42 people, or men, tortured him apparently, and let's see, I know quite a bit. I wrote the book about him. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, really?
I just wrote a book for Jimmy, and I just got a publisher, but I haven't got it sent yet. But William Bonin was, if you pull up his name, it says a whole story about him, but...
I pulled up their names a little bit. I just wanted you to explain it so an overview of the case before we get into any specific questions.
Well, all of them were sentenced to 25 to life, except for William Bonin. He was sentenced to death before the crime. But,
and so this was a sadistic homosexual rape crime.
Yeah, he was gay.
All of them were. All of them, right?
I don't know if, I think Gregory Miley was. I don't think Vernon and James are.
Well, why would they be involved if they, it seems like...
Well, I know what happened when Jimmy got to where he was.
Well, okay, so James Monroe, you call him Jimmy. And,
yeah.
And so here's, so this is a sadistic homosexual rape case, and like a Gacy type of thing where they were sadists to the point where they wanted, they got off on killing people.
Yeah, he picked up hitchhikers mostly, and Jimmy had hitchhiked to California, and he was at a homeless shelter trying to find a place to stay, and the lady apparently told him there's people that come by and help people all the time. So William Bonin just happened to be the one that picked him up and took him to his house, and he figured that if he was living with, that Bonin was living with his mother and brother, that he's probably an okay guy, and so he stayed there with him, and he didn't know until later when he picked up a hitchhiker and brought him home and wanted to kill him that he was actually a killer, and he didn't even know he was the freeway killer until he heard it on the news.
So this is, before we start pleading for his innocence, I just want to get all the facts straight, you know?
Okay.
The facts of the what we read in the newspapers. So this Bonin, okay, he was living with his mom and his brother when he was doing some of this torture and crime?
Yes, he was.
Is that where all the crimes happened?
No, not all of them happened at the home. He went around looking, picking up people in different places and wherever he decided to kill them.
Well, did he ever live on his own?
William Bonin?
Yes.
No, he always lived with his mother and his brother.
I was under the impression that he had lived on his own for a while.
Not that I am aware of.
Right, well, so the house... So, how the hell... You know, let's figure this one out. How the hell does someone commit an act like that, sadistic rape and torture, in a house where you're living with other people and they're not the accomplices?
That's what I'm wondering.
You know, because I got
to
be...
They happened to be around at that time, or... I was under impression Jimmy knew that Bonin's mother was suspicious of his behavior, but that she was him or her or the brother was never around when he committed the crime. I think his brother knew about it because he was the one that brought the box to put that last guy they killed in, so he probably found out about it then.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, you know, as a, I guess, just an outsider looking in, I would think, like Gacy, he had people living with him when he was, you know, he had accomplices that are known accomplices now, but at the time they just pleaded, we just lived there, we didn't know anything went on. If I were involved, what?
There's no way that people, I would think, they wouldn't know or see of that, because I know if I'm living in the house, I would see things.
And that leads me to the point where I think, you know, James is sort of guilty of something. He lived
there.
Yeah,
he was, because he helped him carry the body and dump it.
But
he didn't participate in the actual, whatever, torture. Tied him up.
He did tie him up.
James didn't tie him up, but Bonin tied him up, and he was in there watching TV, and he said, come in, and he did, and he watched it. I think he was in shock. I don't really know, but...
He watched him kill him?
He did, and he said Bonin told him he would kill him, or the rest of them would kill him if he didn't cooperate, and I don't really know if I'd want to not cooperate or I would, depending. I'd be afraid if I seen somebody kill someone, but... I think James helped him take one of the bodies and dump them, and that was the last one that was ever killed.
So, back to you. What's your interest in all of this? Now, you're married to James Monroe now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are a pen pal of serial killers exclusively, or true crime people all over? What? So it seemed...
Not just serial killers, but anybody that was in jail, because I just care about people. I don't know everybody I count, but them mainly.
So you care? The reason you're saying you do this is because you care about people?
Yeah.
My
brother was in jail for 17 years.
What for?
Something to do for, I don't want to say because he's in around here, but for about the same thing.
Oh, murder?
So, yeah. And I just kind of... know how family and friends disown you and stuff, and I don't condone any of the behaviors, and I think it's seriously sick myself. But
so none of this. So none of this turns you on.
No.
And you know, I don't mean to be offensive by that, but you know.
No.
I'm not trying to be offensive. This is just, you know, this is my thoughts of this whole thing, and you know, understand. No. I've been. What was that?
No, I wasn't attracted to any of them that I wrote. Jimmy's the only one that I started to have feelings for, but...
No, I'm talking about reading about their crimes of sadistic rape and sort of getting a little turned on sexually.
No.
No.
No, that, actually, I'm kind of nauseated with some of it, but...
See, because when I... Okay, now I've been reading about this stuff and studying it for about 20 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was younger, Gacy happened, and he was like my boogeyman. You know, he broke my innocence cherry almost.
Oh.
And now, I remember reading about it, and it was very sexually stimulating to me as a young child, because they were talking about sex, and it was something I had never, you know, really, maybe I found a Playboy on the ground or something in the trash can, but I'd never heard anything like that, you know? I went from very innocent, maybe seeing a tit or something like that, to reading about, reading between the lines, because the newspapers never gave you all the gross stuff about it, like the blood and the guts and the smell of it, you know? They so it was sort of, there was something alluring about it, or sexy about it almost, in a weird way. And so a lot of times I feel like a lot of these crimes are all attached to sex and subversive, or suppressed feelings, sexual feelings, people feeling guilty about that stuff. And so then I think a lot of people who write to serial killers and stuff are sexually turned on by their crimes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe not. I mean, you're saying you're not.
No, I was sexually abused too, and maybe that could be some of the things why I now suffers. I don't know.
Why you what?
I was sexually abused as a kid by my grandpa and my dad, and raped by people, you know, so, but I, that's why probably it doesn't, I think that don't affect me like it would some people that read stuff like that. But.
So you don't feel the need to be sadistic to people in a sexual way, like maybe hurt them, maybe a nipple clamp once in a while?
No.
You know, because...
I turned out pretty normal for all I went through.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm not nutty, but...
Yeah, see, well, some would say writing serial killers is nutty.
Yeah, it probably is in my family.
You know, I'm not saying it...
Some of them.
I'm not... I write serial killers myself. I'm not saying, you know, saying
some
that...
Some are just afraid for me to write them, but my mom's wrote to a few of them, and so is my daughter's. Like Randall Woodfield and Archer, they write to them.
So your daughters write to serial killers as well?
Well, they write to Arthur and Randall Woodfield.
Arthur Shawcross?
Yeah.
So how old are you?
I'm 50 now.
Right on. And how old are your daughters?
Well, I have three. The ones that write is 21 and 19. And my other daughter's 32. And then I have a son that they're kind of afraid, thinking they're going to get out and come get us or something, but they're never getting out.
So the what ages are the daughters that write to the serial killers?
19 and 21.
And do they have boyfriends and stuff or?
Yeah, they do.
Right on. So they have a normal.
Yeah, everything's normal with them that I know, and they never tell me it wasn't.
Have they been abused or anything? Did your father or grandfather get at them?
No.
I see.
No, I watched that carefully like a hog, but.
Yeah, I bet. I've got a good handful of friends, female friends, that have been abused like that, and they usually keep a really good eye on their kids.
Yeah, I would never let them alone around my dad alone or anything like that.
Is your dad still living?
He's still living. He's 80 years old, but he's still living. Both my parents are.
And so,
I don't even know about this marriage.
So, have you been married before?
Yeah, a couple of times, a long time ago.
And so are you any religious affiliation?
I'm religious, yeah. Mm. I'm actually a Baptist, but...
You're a Baptist?
Yeah.
Okay, so some would say that because you're religious, maybe you're a little repressed sexually.
Yeah, they might think. I don't think I am, but...
Well, you got three.
Could be.
You got three kids, right?
Four, yeah.
Four kids.
I have had one that died, but I have five. But
oh, how'd the one die?
Well, it was a crib death. He's only 4 months old, but it was still not a good thing. And I accept that now. I'm better off there than he is here. On this earth, I mean.
So how old was that child when it passed?
4 months old.
Was it sick the whole time it was alive?
No, it was a crib death. It's like that sudden infant death syndrome thing where they just stop breathing.
Right. Were you ever, were you writing to serial killers then?
No, I only been doing that for like 3 years because what I did was writing a book about them all, and that I wanted to write to them, get their opinion. And after I got writing to them for all that time, I decided I'd betray their trust if I put the book out, and so I never did. But that's how I got started writing in the first place.
Well, why would you betray their trust? Didn't they trust they answered your questions? Did you tell them you were doing a book or no?
Well, I told them I'm writing a book, but they didn't want to. After that, they didn't want to contribute anything other. And then I just dropped it and just wrote to them as normal people.
Ah, right on. So, what was your book going to be about? What did you start writing them about? What were your questions?
Well, I just my life's writing about David Berkowitz, and I didn't really get to ask them any questions. That stopped after they didn't want to. Randy Kraft is really hard to build a trust with, so I haven't asked him anything. He's one of the really hard ones to get to know.
What was your intentions? What were your questions? What were your questions? Forget what they didn't answer.
I was going to ask their side of the story, innocent or not innocent. I wasn't going to ask them if they commit a crime or what happened during any crimes, or I didn't think that was appropriate, and I still don't ask, but I wanted to know their viewpoint about their life, you know, before any of this.
So how did you, and you live in Utah, do you see James Monroe a lot?
No, I haven't, I don't. I'm going to try to get down there to see him, but I haven't been able to.
Have you ever met him?
No.
How'd you get married to him?
We did it by a church. You can do that without even. It's a church that performs marriages for most prisons in California.
What's it called?
I can't remember now. I have to look up on my marriage certificate.
Universal Life Church?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, really? I'm a reverend in the Universal Life Church.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was trying to remember it, but I couldn't think. I've been sick for about a week.
You know, next time, if this one doesn't work out and you want to get married again, you know, give me a call.
Okay.
You know, maybe down the road, Richard Ramirez gets divorced and... You get in there? What?
Yeah, I like Richard, but he's been respectful to me, you know. He knows I'm married. He does ask about us and family mostly, but...
Do you send any of these killers money?
Yeah, I have money, stamps, envelopes. I do stories for Randy Kraft. I write for a live page. Most of the things I write, they're stories for them. They're on the Serial Killer Central. All those stories that are of Randy Kraft, I transcribe them all for him.
Oh, really?
They're on there.
Well, that's interesting.
Him. You know the live site. You heard of the Coalition Against the Death Penalty site?
No, what is that?
Well, it features whatever inmates want to talk about on there, or their stories or poems or what they like to do and everything. And Randy Kraft got a site, and I helped him with that one.
What's the URL?
It's I'll have to email it to you.
Alive?
It's Alive, but it's in Germany.
Like .ge or something like that?
Yeah, I have to send it to you because it's Canadian. I mean, German.
So you could probably find it in a search engine.
Yeah.
Or on skcentral.com.
I'm not sure if they have that there or not. That's where some of the stories that got posted on Serial Killer Central, I don't know who posted them off the live site. Wasn't me. I didn't want him to think it was me that did that, Randy. But
so you're against the death penalty? Or you're against the death penalty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that solves anything.
I happen to be for the death penalty, you know.
You are?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I'm up in the air about things like that, but as our society stands right now, I am.
Yeah.
Do I think... Pardon me?
I think that some of them... My opinion is if they all them people suffered, they could suffer out 30 years.
What do you mean?
Why let them get off by death and...
I'd agree with you if our whole system, judicial system and society was changed. But as it stands right now, I'm for it because there's just too much. You know, as far as the death penalty, though, I'd like to see lawyers and judges, a lot of these people, put to death as well. So I think the whole system's out of hand.
Yeah.
But in a perfect world, I think people that are extraordinary shouldn't be killed. And that means war criminals like a Hitler or a Bin Laden, and that means serial killers. When they're extraordinary and they kill 45 people and are sadistically, you know, that's extraordinary. That's not just going, you know. So those people, maybe you can study them, but they're extraordinary. I mean, some buffoon that goes into a liquor store and shoots some clerk like yourself, a working mother with four kids, for $20, they should be put to death. They're just a waste of life and a waste of our food, and, you know. But that's my opinion. Yeah. Enough about me. Let's talk about let's talk about James Monroe and how you got married. What happened? Did he ask you to marry him?
Yeah, he did.
Was it romantic?
Oh, he wrote me his wedding vows and all. He's actually romantic, yeah. He wrote some wedding vows to send, and he said, well, if I was there, I'd get down on my knees and ask you to marry me, but I'm not there. I thought he was joking, actually.
Isn't he retarded?
Oh, I don't know. He's pretty smart, actually. I was correcting some of his algebra problems because that's what I was going to school for. And he's actually pretty good with like, the English math and all that stuff. Sometimes when I tell him something, I have to tell him again a few times because he forgets, or I don't know if he actually understands, because I'm not bragging, but I'm a little bit more, I've been through a lot of college, so I have to ignore that he hasn't had as much schooling as me when I'm talking to him.
Yeah, but part of the stuff I read, I thought part of his plea was that he's, you know, mentally ill or part retarded. And he should.
Retarded is what it would be. His IQ wasn't very high. I think it was only 72.
But you're saying that's not true.
Well, I think he probably has a little understanding mentally is his problem.
But he's very smart.
But yeah, in other things he is.
I see. So, what do you do for a living?
Me? I fix computers, and I'm not working at this moment because I'm here helping my mother. But I fix computers, and I went to school for sex and drug abuse counseling. I just haven't done it for a while.
Do you live with your mother?
Yeah, that wasn't my choice. I just didn't want. I had to do it because she's taken care of me all my life, and she just.
And is she sickly or something? You're like a caretaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see her for like 28 years. She lived in Kentucky, you know, and I never seen her for almost 28 years. And then she moved back down here. And
where's down here, Utah?
Yeah, I'm in St. George, Utah, just about 120-something miles from Vegas.
That's a fun town.
Yeah, it is. Mesquite's closer. It's only 50 miles to go gamble.
You like to gamble?
Yeah, I like to play keno and stuff.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah. I quit a few times, but I still keep doing it. I don't do anything else, but I do that. But I'm actually healthy for smoking, I guess.
So when's the last time you've fooled around with a man?
Well, when I broke up with my boyfriend 4 years ago.
And so, and you started writing serial killers how long ago?
About 3 years ago. I broke up with him in 2001 because his daughter and my daughter got in trouble, and she lied, and he thought we lied, and he never spoke to me again. That was it. After 10 years, I was with him. So that's what happened to that.
I got to tell you.
I just didn't want to go with anybody, really. Maybe I felt safer writing people like that. I don't know.
Sure. No, that's why I asked. That's why I asked. I mean, you know, it's sometimes coincides, the pen pal relationships coincide with a lack of sexual activity or friendship, you know, so you're looking for pen pals. And
could do that, I just don't. So
you just don't what?
I just didn't want to get involved in that again and go through that again with, you know, I didn't think I'd ever be involved with no one again after that, but.
So being sexually abused, did you ever, being sexually abused, what was your teen years like?
My what years?
Your teen years, your teenage years, when you're like, let's say, 16 to 21.
Well, I got married when I was 18. But I was not, that was my husband's first one I was with.
And really?
Except for, well, there was that rape when I was 17, but other than that.
And then your father was diddling you?
Yeah, I was 4.
So does that count?
Yeah, I just kind of put that back in my head.
Hmm. You know, yeah, and why I was asking is because some girls who are molested go on to be, you know, strippers and work in the sex trade for a couple of years to get that out of their system.
No, I didn't. I just dealt with it by myself.
Right on. So James Monroe, you got married to him?
Yeah, in June.
And you what book are you writing right now, or you have written?
He asked me to write about everything that happened. The freeway killers.
Uh-huh.
Is it a story about everything and why he came to be to California and what happened when he got caught and all that from when he was 18 to when he got caught, which is almost 18.
So what's the book called?
It's called Blind Justice.
Who's the publisher?
Me. Well, I haven't got a publisher. I've got, there are a couple of them emailed me back, but I didn't have the copyright yet, so I haven't sent it to him.
I see.
There's 3 or 4 of them on there, and I don't know who I can trust, because I wanted to make sure I had the copyright in my hand.
So is he your favorite serial killer?
James?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't do anything like some of the others, all right.
So who are your top 3 serial killers?
Let's see, Randy Kraft.
And what's his case?
Is it that Scorecard Killer?
What's it called?
The Scorecard Killer, Randy Kraft.
What did he do? Tell me a little bit about his...
He killed those younger boys, like 20, in their 20s, and he was in his 40s, 30, 40s.
And so he was a...
He was gay, too.
And he was a sadist?
Yeah, some of the things he did were pretty bad.
Like what? Tell me about it.
Well, burning their private parts with a lighter and putting sticks up their behind.
While they were alive?
Yeah. I was wondering. I think that some of them were.
I mean, what... Yeah, what good...
If I was a serial killer, could you think that it would be any pleasurable not to see pain if they were dead? That's my thinking. I think they're alive.
Yeah, he said they're dead, though?
He says he didn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
He's not admitted to nothing.
And so what else did he do to these victims? So he lit their genitalia on fire and stuck sticks up their butt?
Yeah, and cut their privates off.
Hmm.
Like that, girls. Left one of them, their privates up there behind. Sick things like that.
And so who's your second favorite?
Arthur. Probably Arthur Shawcross or Randall Whitfield. I like Randall. He's a nice guy.
Tell me about Randall Whitfield. What'd he do?
He's the I-5 killer, killed women from Washington to Oregon to California, ran around freeways. Actually, he was showing himself to people when his trouble first, you know, starts.
What do you mean, showing himself? What do you mean?
You know, he'd be out in a park somewhere and pull his pants down.
Oh, and that's how he got caught?
Well, that's what he started doing at first, and then he started robbing, and then he started having women have oral sex with him and stuff like that, and then he'd kill them, and he was a fast runner, and that's why they never caught him some of the scenes, because he was with the Green Bay Packers for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was with them. I don't know why he didn't stay there and knock it off, but he got caught.
So he'd run, rape and kill someone and then run from the scene on foot?
Yeah.
And get away?
Yeah, for a while he did.
How'd he get caught?
The evidence with, I don't know, it was one of his ex-girlfriend's friend. They killed him and they found the gun he had because they knew that he had stole it from him. I don't know, some silver ruler or something, I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
And Arthur Shawcross, I know a little bit about him, but explain for people who don't know. He's the, what's his nickname?
He's the Genesee River Killer. and prostitutes.
And how many did he get?
13 that I know of, is what they're saying, 13.
Any good specifics about his case?
He admits that he admits to me that he messed up, but he don't really say much more. I know that he was with, he was married when he was doing all that.
Doing what? What did he do to some of his victims, though? Anything good?
No, I know he had sex with them after they were dead. He kept going back and having sex with them. And he never really cut anybody up or anything. He just was morbid, I guess. Went back and after he'd kill him, he would say that they did something to him to make him kill him, like one of them bit him when he was having oral sex, and that's why he choked her. And he'd always had an excuse for why he was going to kill him, because they'd said something mean to him or they wouldn't do something.
So who else? So who else do you write? You write those three. You write James Monroe. And you write Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Let's see. Well, I write to... I used to write to Tommy Lynn Sales, but he's too freaky. I quit writing to him.
Why is he too freaky?
He was just asking me every little detail about my body and wanted a picture, and I didn't have a camera that was working at the time. And he wanted me to send his picture, and it was not good enough for him. He wanted every little clear detail, and he said I was trying to avoid sending him pictures. He wanted to know my bra size and underwear. Just weird things. He was just weird.
So have you ever sent nude photos to a prisoner?
No. No, I haven't. No, I just didn't write him. And Keith Jesperson, I write to him too.
And what?
I write a whole lot.
Keith Jesperson?
Yeah.
And what did he do?
He's a happy face killer. I guess he killed women. I don't know a whole lot about his case other than he got caught because he killed his girlfriend. That's how he got caught, because that was the last one he killed. But I don't know a whole lot about him.
So tell me why you think James is innocent, James Monroe, one of the freeway killers, and someone you're married to.
I feel like he got caught up with going to California and getting caught up with Wilmian Bond, and he's probably scared of him. I don't know. I think he helped get rid of the body, but I just don't feel that he did any of those killings. Well, he didn't. There was only one that he got accused of being there when it happened, and he didn't report it like he should have. So I just don't think he did anything to him. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did. I just don't feel he did.
Yeah, you know, when I read about his case, I got to tell you, and you don't think he was having sex with William Bonin?
I don't know that. I doubt it.
Why?
I don't know. I can't. Because I have faith in him. I believe in him. And he said, I'd tell you if I did, because I asked him one time that somebody said he was gay, so I'm not gay. So I don't know. I'm just taking his word.
So you asked him?
Yeah. I don't know. I can get the cat trying to dig the door in.
What was that?
Oh, I was just trying to get the cat away. I was trying to dig its way out the door. Get out of there.
Trying to get out of there, huh?
Yeah. When they get in heat, they're mean.
So does he talk a lot about his sexuality or anything on the phone?
No. Well, mostly I haven't called him on the phone yet. I just already got the system where that prison cell phone's friends would rag up. I just already got the number, and he'll be calling me in 2 or 3 days. But I haven't talked to him on the phone yet. I will be, though.
Well, so you're married to him and you haven't even spoke to him on the phone?
Yeah, I had a financial problem for a little while because, with helping. And so I wasn't able to do any of that yet. And all I had was my cell phone, and I really didn't want nobody calling my mom's phone and bothering her,
Yeah.
I could have, but that's not... I don't need no one bothering her, so...
No, I hear you there. So, what I think about that James Monroe thing is, though, I think he was a street hustler, having sex for money to survive. And I think he did something right with William Bonin, and that guy just fell in love with him. And they were having some sort of sexual affair going on. And then William Bonin would bring home these treats for himself to torture and kill. But, human nature would say that, there's not. You're not really going to find a sexually a rapist, a homosexual rapist killer that's going to take in another young man just to be friends with them and not screw him in the ass or anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Gacy. He had two guys living with him. He was screwing both of them.
Yeah, you know how, like, teen girls are when they're just going out to experience everything.
What?
18-year-olds.
What? Oh, you said you know how 18-year-olds are?
Yeah, you know, new to that kind of, you know, want to experience everything.
So you think if he was having gay sex, it was just a brief love affair or something?
Yeah, I don't think he was, but he could have been. I don't know. I can't say, but I...
Well, sure, you weren't there. Well, none of us can, but him and William Bonin and stuff.
And I don't think that that's... I think some of them things are, would probably be embarrassed or didn't want to say or think that I would judge, but I would judge nobody. They know me well enough to know I don't ask questions and I don't judge them. You know, I never brought up any kind of things to any of them, you know, that they did or not done.
Right on.
That's probably why they trust me, I guess, because I don't ask questions and...
Yeah, so you know, we should talk again. We should talk again.
All right.
You want to talk again, like in a couple days?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, we'll talk about James Monroe and his case and everything.
Okay.
How's that sound?
All right, I could send you, you have an email, so
yeah.
I could also send you that, the copy of that, or in the mail.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you my address, and you could send me some stuff through the email. And then I can look it over, and we can talk more about what you're doing in your book and everything.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds fine.
So what was your name again?
Jan.
What's your last name? Monroe, right?
Yeah.
Jan Monroe?
Yeah.
Right on. It was good talking to you.
Okay, nice talking to you too.
Yeah, doll. I'll talk to you in a couple of days, 2-3 days.
Okay, all right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Daily Crime Cast. Make sure to check out murderauction.com, skcentral.com. Those are both fine places to find out more about serial killers and crime collectibles that are online and for sale.